You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is a daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, here with Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, I started the episode different than I had since we came to season two. I just realized.
Yeah, I realized it too. And I'm like, your favorite baseball team just became the first team to 40 wins. Your favorite basketball team just went up 3-1 in the conference finals. And you're coming out here with hello, Dodger fans. Come on. Where's our yo-yo-yo?
I know. There's too much excitement. I my brain's all frazzled from dual screens all night. But yeah, the Dodgers won the series against the A's, heading into the final series of the regular season. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Walker Buehler coming back from his blister and a couple other things. But before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or if you're at home, please tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, Jeff, the big news, the big not the only thing we were looking toward tonight, but the main thing was Walker Buehler back from his blister. He went 4 innings, looked really good. How good did he look to you, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, he looked outstanding, probably the best we've seen him all year. Obviously, only going 4 innings was maybe not as much as we had hoped for, but quality, you know, the quantity wasn't there, but the quality was, like I said, the best we've seen. His fastball wasn't where it was his last start, but that's probably a good thing. I told you last time that makes me nervous when a guy suddenly spikes in velocity like that. And so this time he was, you know, 97, 98, might have touched 99 once or twice. Yeah, but, you know, kind of in regular Walker Buehler territory. His curveball looked really, really good. His command was mostly solid. He had a couple batters where he struggled to find the strike zone, did walk one guy. But all in all, I mean, allowing 2 base runners and erasing one of them with a double play grounder in 4 innings with 6 strikeouts. You know, like I said, the quantity wasn't there, but the quality has me very excited for October.
Yeah, I don't think we could have really asked for much more. And before the game, Dave Roberts had said, you know, around 5 innings, 75 pitches, something to that extent. He went 4 innings and was like at 65 pitches. So he could have went the extra inning, but I think they saw what they needed to see and just kind of pulled him there and, you know, let him get ready for next week in the playoffs. And I even tweeted out, I think Walker Buehler smells October because he looked locked, loaded, and ready to go. And like, you know, the game one starter that he's been in the past. So it was nice to see, refreshing. He looked, like I said, I think it was the best he looked all year, just in terms of attacking hitters, coming out from the start and just going after guys, had his breaking ball working, you know, the fastball is always there, ramped up, and yeah, maybe a little bit of command here and there. And then after the game, he comes out and says that everything was fine with his finger. They figured out some ways to remedy it. I know there was mentioned that they had talked to Rich Hill to try to figure out a couple things. As we all know, Rich Hill dealt with blisters in his Dodger career. So all in all, I mean, like, other than if he had thrown a complete game in like 30 pitches, not much more you could ask for from Buehler.
Yeah, and even that complete game in 30 pitches means giving up a lot of contact, and I might actually feel less confident going into the postseason. But maybe my favorite part of his night was his postgame interview, seeing what a good mood he was in, smiling, joking, laughing, and that was not the face of a guy who is worried about a blister on his finger. And that's the most important thing to me right now, because the pitching skill is there. It's just a matter of health. And so I'm feeling good about it, as good as I can be. Obviously, like we've mentioned before, you and I are both going to be nervous in the postseason anyway, but it's about as good as I could have hoped for.
Yeah. Heading into October at this point, I'm about as confident as I can be. Not that that's going to change anything about when the games start, but it seems that the offense is coming around. We talked about Bellinger and Muncy the other day. Muncy had a 0-for-4, but a couple good ABs and hit one out to the track. Bellinger had a hit, 2 walks. So he's still seeing the ball well. And Corey Seager had a home run, adding to his MVP candidacy. Was there anything else from the offensive side that stood out to you?
No, honestly, my favorite part was Muncy. Seeing that Muncy, even though he went 0-for-4, he hit the ball hard all four times up. One of them, you know, was a pop-up, basically, a deep infield or shallow outfield pop-up. But the rest of them, I mean, he easily could have been 3-for-4. Probably should have been 2-for-4. Instead, he was 0-for-4. But, you know, with Muncy, it's all about getting there and the fact that he's making better contact, not swinging through pitches that he should be hitting, even if he's not quite hitting them quite where he should all the time. It's definite progress, and it bodes well for the future, I think.
Definitely. The other part was the lineup last night was pretty close to what we're going to see in a postseason game. You had Mookie, Corey, Turner, Muncy, Smith, Belly, Pollock, Jock, and Taylor, with the exception of maybe Jock, who hasn't necessarily earned a spot. That's basically the other eight we're going to see, with maybe Barnes thrown in if Kershaw's pitching, or maybe Edwin Rios thrown in if the Dodgers feel more comfortable with him than rather than Jock. But, you know, pretty solid look at the lineup, at what we're going to see, and everyone's healthy. And, you know, you look up and down the lineup, you got three guys with the OPSs over 900. We got three guys with the OPSs over 800. And then you got Bellinger at 791 and Muncy at 719, who we know can be way better than that. So it's four guys with over 800. So basically the whole lineup is kind of rolling at the right moment to a certain extent, and hopefully that extends.
Yeah, hopefully. Like you said, with Jock, it's questionable. Barnes is obviously going to catch Kershaw, and I expect / hope that Will Smith will be the DH in those games, because I think they need Smith's bat in the lineup. And so that removes Jock from the lineup probably. And so you'll have Kershaw games, and you'll have obviously games against a left-handed starter. Jock is not going to start. But a postseason game against a right-handed starter when Kershaw's not starting for the Dodgers, yeah, I think what we saw on Thursday night might be their lineup.
And 5 runs, not too bad. I'll take that any postseason game. All right, we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about a couple more things we want to see or what we've seen in this last week. And then we're going to have a little bit of a discussion around the Astros, Angels, and the Dodgers final series. But before that, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar. I'm not just saying that. I've actually purchased Built Bars with my hard-earned money. And for me to spend money on protein bars when I can, you know, usually, well, obviously not going to the office right now, but I can just grab them for free at the work office, tells you something, that Built Bars are the real deal. They've got a bunch of new flavors since they had their rebrand, 6 new flavors. I believe they have another one right now, something pumpkin for the fall season. So go out there and get that, as well as their 12 original flavors. All the bars are soft, easy to chew, basically tastes like a candy bar. However, they are healthier than candy bars. They got low calories, high protein, low carbs, low sugar, everything you could need. If you're on the keto diet, it's perfect for that. You know, if you're on high protein diet, perfect for that. Low sugar diet, perfect for that. Low calorie diet, perfect for that. And guess what? Right now, you can get $10 off your next order if you go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. And as I mentioned, I used to grab protein bars at the office, but right now there is no office. But maybe you're looking for someone to join your office in the future once everything is back to normal. Well, guess what? Indeed.com can help you out. They are the number one job site in the world because they get you the best people fast. You have full control and flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time. No long-term contracts. There's really no downside to trying out Indeed to try to find someone to work with you, for you, or whatever you're looking for. They have sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. And more than 70% of online job seekers are visiting Indeed each month to try to find their next job. And right now, Indeed is offering listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th. Keep it locked on, Dodgers. Hi, Jeff. For today's obscure former Dodger, I went to... First, I did the search you did yesterday for players that played only for the A's and Dodgers. While some of those guys may have had compelling stories, I didn't really recognize any of them, so I didn't want to go after a random. So I broke it open a little bit more to just people that played for both the A's and Dodgers in their career, not just exclusively. And I found a guy that was with the Dodgers as recently as 2018, but his Dodger career was very short, and that's John Axford. John Axford came over from the Blue Jays in a trade in 2018 to the Dodgers to bolster their bullpen. He ended up pitching only in 5 games before he got hurt and was out for the rest of the season, and he's yet to make it back to the majors after that, after suffering an arm injury in the following year. He pitched for the A's in 2016 and 17. His most notable time was with the Brewers. He was a 9th in Cy Young voting and 17th in MVP voting back in 2011. He won the Relief Man of the Year back then. Some notable things about John Axford is he's Canadian, which I guess is notable most of the time, or at least we Americans call it notable. He is a graduate of Notre Dame with a degree in film and television, and one of the notes on his Wikipedia is that he correctly predicted 14 of the 15 winners of the 2013 Oscar Awards and all 18 winners at the 2014 Oscar Awards. So, yeah, it seems like John Axford is into movies. Not really notable on that end, so he's an obscure former Dodger.
Yeah, he is. If I remember right, didn't he, like, have a comebacker break his shin or something right after he came to the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to mention the Oscar Award predictions. That's probably the most notable thing for me about John Axford, except for the fact that when he was at the Brewers and really good, his hair and his facial hair, he basically looked like a truck driver. And there was one time a couple years ago when he and it was June 1st, 2016, Joe Blanton, Trevor Cahill, and John Axford all pitched on the same day. So it was a good night for pitcher or truck driver, because those three guys, they were the trifecta for me of guys who you see him pitching, you're like, huh, he looks like he ought to be doing the long haul instead of standing on a mound. So that's my John Axford thought.
All right, let's move on.
Actually, hold on. I have a follow-up on yesterday's obscure former Dodger. I almost forgot. I did Mike Davis, and I mentioned he went to Herbert Hoover High School, the same high school that Ted Williams and several other big leaguers went to. There was one other person who went to Herbert Hoover High School that I didn't know about because it didn't show up on Baseball Reference. It was a young woman by the name of Joanna Veal, who shortly after high school married John Merrifield, and shortly after that gave birth to Lori Merrifield, who 20 years after that married Rocky Snyder, who 4 years after that gave birth to Jeff Snyder. My grandma went to the same high school as Mike Davis, and I had no idea until my mom listened to our podcast and texted me and told me.
Wow. Well, the things you learn by listening to our podcast.
Yep, I feel closer to my dead grandma already.
There you go. All right, so this was second to last series. The Angels are coming up for 3. The Dodgers can't move anywhere in their seating. They're just waiting to see who they are going to play. I believe as of the end of the games last night, they would be playing the Giants in the first round, but there are still a bunch of teams all within one game of each other, so don't put any too much stock into that right now. But Jeff, with these final 3 games, Dave Roberts did mention that May and Gonsolin would pitch bulk innings, which basically means that they might not start their games, but they will pitch the majority of the innings in whatever games they get into. Kershaw will start on Friday. Other than that, what else are you looking forward to or looking for these last 3 games of the season?
You know, it's really just kind of figuring out who fits on the roster. I've mentioned before the possibility of for this first series adding an extra guy or two to the bench because they won't need as many starters, starting pitchers. You know, I was thinking today, wondering what Gavin Lux's situation is going to be because he's basically down to no playing time. And I'm wondering if he's going to be on the postseason roster. There's it's mostly just figuring out those last little postseason roster spots and roles in the bullpen. You know, I really liked seeing on Thursday night when Dave Roberts came out to talk to Blake Treinen, and it wasn't just to pull him. It was to say, okay, here's a situation. My parents went away on a week's vacation. I can't say here's a situation without going into Parents Just Don't Understand by Fresh Prince. Anyway, Treinen told him, no, I want to face this lefty. I want to get out of the mess that I made. And Roberts let him, and Treinen did. And so, you know, I liked seeing that. Pedro Baez looked good. So really, I think the bullpen is the thing I'm most interested to see this weekend between how and whether they use openers, who they use in what situations, because that's the big question is who's going to be in the postseason bullpen and what roles are they going to fill?
Yeah, that's really the main question left. I pretty much think the starting lineup as a whole, for the most part, is pretty set. And the starting rotation as a whole, at least the five names are pretty set. The order is not set. But the bullpen's really the only thing left. And one other guy that looked good last night, Kenley Jansen, like I said, Pedro Baez looked good. He was using his off-speed. It seemed to me that Jansen and Baez were trying to use their other pitches a little bit more. So that's a good sign. You know, they're trying to work on things and make sure that's all ripe and ready for the postseason. And, yeah, other than that, there's really not too much else to look for other than everybody stay healthy. That's really the main concern of this weekend. Moving into our next topic about this weekend. So I believe it's still able to happen that if the Astros were to lose out the rest of these games and the Angels were to win out the rest of these games, then the Angels own the tiebreaker over the Astros and they would get into the postseason, knocking the Astros out, I think, since the Blue Jays clinched today. So there was people talk on Twitter of the Dodgers, quote-unquote, throwing these last three games in order to try to knock the Astros out of the postseason. I know you had a tweet stating your opinion, but if for those of you that don't follow on Twitter, Jeff, can you tell us your opinion?
First of all, why don't you follow me on Twitter? What did I ever do to you? But, mostly I'm glad that it's not actually a real possibility because the Dodgers would never consider doing that. But the reason I'm glad it's not a possibility is because I have zero interest in the Dodgers losing on purpose just to stick it to the Astros because the last time I cared what happened with the Astros was a week or two ago when the Dodgers played the Astros. And the next time I care what happens with the Astros will be the next time the Dodgers play the Astros. The rest of the time, I forget they exist. I remember the 2017 Astros existed because they cheated to steal the World Series from my Dodgers. But the current Astros, I don't care. I could not care less what happens with them, whether they make the postseason and get knocked out in the first round, whether they lose to the Dodgers in the World Series. Don't care. I have zero... we don't swear on this podcast and I don't swear and I especially don't swear that word, but I give zero cares about the Astros, as the kids say.
Yeah, I can't go as far as saying that. You know, I would have preferred the Astros not make the playoffs. If the AOS had just one team at 500, the Astros would have been battling for a playoff spot and it would have been, you know, it wouldn't have been anything to give back what happened in 2017, but it would have been a nice little thing to happen this year, especially after everything that happened. But the other fact of the matter is, obviously, one, no baseball team is going to lose on purpose. The second thing is, I don't even think the Dodgers could lose three in a row unless they literally went up there throwing lobbing pitches and everybody batted their opposite side. And
Max Muncy is your opener.
Yeah, like that's literally the only way they could lose is if they literally tried to lose. Even if they quote unquote tried to lose and threw their worst pitchers and started their worst lineup, they're still a better team than the Angels at this point. So it wouldn't even work out unless it was over the top. And at that point, you're cheating the game. So this whole idea was far-fetched anyways. If it would have just happened on its own, where the Astros didn't make the playoffs this year, I would have taken a little grain of happiness with that. But the fact of the matter is, it's whatever people were talking about, it's not going to happen this weekend, and don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, and realistically, the Astros aren't going to get swept by the Rangers either. So it's really not an actual possibility. But yeah, and I guess I should clarify, if I was put in charge, if they came to me and said, okay, Jeff, instead of a season, you're just going to pick the postseason teams. Yeah, the Astros would not be in the postseason if I was choosing. But since they're still deciding based on who wins games, yeah, I don't care what happens with the Astros. And I know Jose Altuve has been bad this year. I know Alex Bregman has continued to lie about his height. And other than that, I couldn't tell you anything. Oh, and Carlos Correa had a nice swing once, if I remember right. And other than that, don't know, don't care.
All right. That's all we had on our docket. Jeff, you got anything else? We might actually end the episode a little early today.
Yeah, next time. But I love when we say early, meaning how long it's supposed to be. Next time we talk, Vince, the regular season will be over. We have just this last series. We'll talk Sunday night for Monday morning's episode after the Dodgers are done, losing 3 straight games to the Angels. Sure. But yeah, it's been a weird, fast season, but it's felt like baseball most of the time, and that's more than we thought we were going to get. And so I'm thankful as we go into this last weekend that the Dodgers made it through this season without any COVID issues or any major injury issues. Obviously they've had injuries, but nothing more than you would really expect in a regular season, I don't think. And so, it's awesome, and I'm glad baseball made it through this season, and hopefully we've got another 4 weeks or whatever in us, both the Dodgers and Major League Baseball in general, of staying safe and getting through it all.
Hopefully, the Dodgers did hit 40 wins last night. I'm pretty sure we both had them winning at least 40 games in our preseason predictions. So good job to us for getting that right. But yeah, like I said, the next time we talk, we will know the Dodgers' first-round playoff opponent. We will know that and make sure that everyone is healthy and ready to go. And we'll be in full-on, not quite October, but October talk. And it's exciting. So make sure to come back next Monday. Make sure to tell your friends and everybody else, especially with the playoffs coming up. And, people need their Dodger fix. Why not come to us? Make sure to subscribe if you're not already subscribed on iTunes, preferably if you have it and don't subscribe on there. Rate and review. Post about us. Tweet about us. We've been getting some nice tweets and some funny tweets recently, so keep that up. And yeah, just make sure to tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody you know that's a Dodger fan to help support. You can follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. Other ways to get a hold of us, if you're not DMing one of those accounts, you can call and leave a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-5625 or shoot us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We will talk to you on Monday.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!